Well, if you would, please have your Bible open at the book of Joshua, and that chapter 15. We have read the text together, and I appreciate when you read a text of Scripture first thing in the morning, or any time. It takes a moment or two just to let it sink in. It takes a time or two to read it, but it's good just to read quickly through the passage. And now we'll come to consider it in some detail. I want to ask the Lord for his blessing as we do so. The reality is we require the Lord. We require the Spirit of God to open our hearts and our understanding to this text. We only have a few minutes around the Word now. And I would ask of you to certainly give of your full attention to God's Word and God's truth, and seek to obtain as much blessing as you can from this text this morning, and even pray that the Lord would speak to you and encourage, even redirect your own walk with God. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we want to just pause before we come to your Word. The Lord is a man. I have no ability to create the anxious thought. I, Lord, am not called to be the one who drives the Word of God right into someone's heart as the preacher's responsibility, Lord, to pray and then to give it to the people's ears. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt make a highway into the heart of each individual here. That, O Lord, you would give genuine instruction. That, Lord, these people would glean from thy Word, that I and all gathered would be encouraged this morning as we learn from this woman, Aksa, and from this passage which you have recorded, Lord, for our benefit and, Lord, for thine own glory. So, Lord, do be with us now. Give help to the preacher and to the hearer. Lord, for the next 30 minutes or so, we pray, Lord, you'll give us the ability to give our entire mind and our attention to thy Word and the truths contained herein. May we feed, and may we feed at the hand of the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask and pray, knowing this, that unless, Lord, you bless, there will be no advancement this morning. So bless us now, we pray. Amen and amen. It's always good just to pray before we consider God's Word. We want the Lord to apply each and every truth. Our hearts can be hard and cold and careless. May the Lord indeed apply his Word today. What I want to do this morning is take the subject of obtaining blessings. Obtaining blessings. And there is no doubt it is irrelevant what stage you are in your Christian life. You will need fresh blessings from God. Sanctification, knowledge, a blessing in the sense of God increasing your faith, or whatever the case may be. So we all stand in need this morning of fresh blessing from above. And the text which we just read, we read of three individuals: Caleb, Othniel, and Aksa. And these three individuals obtained blessings in three very different ways. Let me just scan through the three of them here very quickly by way of introduction. Verse 13, here we have this man, Caleb. And Caleb obtained blessings by faithfulness. That was the key to Caleb's life. He was faithful to God. If you go back to the portion we read in chapter 14, here we have the record of Caleb's faithfulness. And because he was faithful, God blessed him. It says in verse 6 of chapter 14 that Caleb came to Joshua and he said, Do you remember? Do you remember when we went to spy out the land? And all the other spies, except you and me, the other spies brought back a bad report. You'll remember the occasion. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt and they came to the borders of the Promised Land and they sent in the spies, but only two brought back a good report, Joshua and Caleb. They were faithful to the Lord and the Lord blessed these two men. The rest of the people that were afraid to go into the Promised Land, they're gone now. But here's Caleb, and here's Joshua. And if you go with me then to verse 8, it says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." That's faithfulness. Verse 9. Now, remember that phrase, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 9, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Again, there's the same phrase, a record of his faithfulness. Look at verse 10 now. Caleb is in his 85th year. All right. Is a man of great experience, of many years under his belt. Verse 10, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." That's an important phrase. It was the Lord who preserved his life those 85 years. "As he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, though I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Here is a man in his 85th year, and he literally feels like he's 40. I hope I feel like I'm 40 when I'm 60 or 70. It's highly unlikely. When I'm 40, I'll probably feel 85. But nevertheless, the Lord gave this man unique physical strength for a reason. If you go with me then to verse 13. "And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance." Now note this. "It became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." It was his faithfulness. And so, Caleb obtained blessings by being faithful to his God at all times, even when the rest of the people of God were not faithful. Even when they were fearful, even when they were refusing to do what God said, he remained faithful, and so God blessed him. I want that to encourage you today. You ought to do what God says at all times. Be obedient to the word of God. So let's go again to our main text, which is Joshua 15. We have considered there Caleb, who obtained blessings by faithfulness. Let's look now at Othniel, verse 17. Here we have Othniel, and if we go back to verse 16, it says, "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife." So here's Othniel, and he obtained a blessing. He obtained a wife. He obtained Aksah. And how did he obtain it? By fighting God's battles. So here's a man who obtained blessing through fighting God's battles. Not so much his own. This is not a man with a chip on his shoulder. This is not someone who's going out to defend himself on personal mission of defending his own pride and name. Not at all. He's fighting God's battles. For the Lord said to the people of Israel, "Go into the Promised Land. Deal with the nations there." Remember, we saw this last week as well. Sometimes God sent the people of God right into a heathen nation and told them, go and annihilate the nation. Why was that? It was because of their sin. It was because of their wickedness. And God is a God who is just, and he must deal with sin. Sometimes God deals justly with sin by sending a disaster. Remember how he sent fire and brimstone from heaven upon Sodom. That's the first time the fires of hell fell from heaven and they came down and dealt with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. On other occasions, God sent a disease, but on sometimes God sent his own people and they became his sword of justice dealing with sin. And that's what's happening here. Othniel is fighting the Lord's battles and the Lord blessed him. He obtained a blessing. But we want to come to Aksa this morning. And again, if you pick up verse 16, here's Caleb, her father. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And so I trust you can get the scene here. Here's Caleb, this man of God, experienced, aged, and he has a daughter. And he obviously loves his daughter very much because he wants a good man for her. And so he sets out the challenge. Here's the challenge. Here's how he's going to find a good man for her. He gives the challenge. He sets down the gauntlet, and the man that takes it and the man who achieves what's set before him, Caleb says, that man is worthy of my daughter. I can't help but just laugh because yesterday we were, where were we yesterday? We were in Calgary. We were in one of the shopping malls somewhere. The Chinook Shopping Center. And there was a t-shirt there and I was so tempted to buy it. It said, this is for fathers who may have daughters who are looking to get married to a man. There was 10 rules you have to meet before you can marry my daughter. For example, you have to treat her the way you'd want me to treat you. And no matter what you do to her, I'm going to do to you. And you make sure you have her back a certain time. And all these requirements, 10 requirements, I thought they were good. Now, my daughters are not anywhere near the age of getting married, but I thought it'd be good to have for future reference. But nevertheless, here's Caleb. He cares about his daughter and he wants to give her to a good man. But what I want you to see about Aksa is this, how she obtained blessings. And you find it in verse 19. In verse 19, here's how she obtained her blessing. Who answered, give me a blessing. She's asking a question. That's all she's doing. She's praying. She's praying. And so Caleb obtained blessings by faithfulness. Othniel obtained blessings by fighting God's battles. Aksa obtained blessings by prayer, by asking. And you know, I can't help but think of this family. If Othniel and Aksa had children together, what wonderful stories they would have to tell of a grandfather, Caleb, and all his faithfulness, of their fathers fighting for God and obtaining blessings, and of a godly mother who prayed and she obtained blessings by her ministry and prayer. These would have been blessed children, blessed grandchildren indeed. So, obtaining blessings through prayer is what I want to look at in the next 15 minutes or so. Number one, or firstly, I want you to see the source of blessing here. Aksa had a need, and she needed to go to the source of blessing. Listen, when you're thirsty, you need to go to a source where water flows from. It'll be your tap in your house. And you go and you turn on the tap. That's the source. Now, Aksa had a need here. Now, where was the source of her blessing? Well, you find it in verse 18. And it came to pass as she came unto him. That's Aksa going on to her husband Othniel now. She's coming on to him. She's leaving her father's home and security, and she's going to her husband. Okay, verse 18. And it came to pass, as she came on to him, that she moved him to ask of her father. And so her father was the source of blessing. Obviously here was a paternal love. She had a parent who cared for her, and she knew that. And she goes to the one who has nurtured her all of these years, who has cared for her, whose faithfulness towards her has been unquestioned. And so she goes to her father because she knows that her father will not deny her anything that's good for her. And that's right, a father would not deny his children anything which he knows is good for them. Remember that text in Matthew? Might be good to go there. We'll dip in and out of this text for the next few moments. But Matthew chapter 7. And here you have that well-known text about the Lord using the parental love that we have, and how it's far from perfect to compare his love with it. So if you go to chapter 7, and it is the verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil as parents, that's the idea here. If you are evil parents in the sense of fallen. And that's more true than I would like it to be truthful with you. I know what it is to be a sinful man. You know what it is to be a sinful man or woman as well. And we are far from perfect. And so the word of God puts it piercingly here. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? This is true. Aksa knew that her father would give her whatever is good for her. But how much more true is that of you and me when we go to our Heavenly Father? Well, he will give to us what is good at all times. There is no doubt about that. I think it's important here that Aksa goes to her father, because there is no relationship like that between a parent and a child. There's no stronger relationship. I'll tell you why. You can think on a spouse, or you can think on a friend, but very often a spouse may desert you, may leave you. Friends usually come and go, but a parent is always your parent. That's it. I remember a man, it was his daughter came to him, and it's not that long ago, and his daughter said to him, you know, I want an iPhone or whatever it was. And his father said, her father said, I'm not giving you an iPad. And she got a little bit stroppy. And she said, well, I'm going to go on to Facebook and I'm going to defriend you. And her father said, well, go ahead, defriend me. I never was your friend in the first place. I'm your father. There's a big difference there. You can defriend someone, but you can't defather. All right? You understand what I mean there? There's a parental relationship which never changes. And here is Aksa going to this parental relationship. She's going to her father. As you and I, we can go to our Heavenly Father and get the full authority and depth of meaning there when we call him our Father. That means it's never going to change. He always will be our Father. He has brought us in. He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He is our God. And that will never, ever change. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our perfectly loving Heavenly Father give to us what we need? We read Psalm 103 at the very commencement of our meeting here this morning. And we read right down to verse 13. And if you can recall verse 13 there, it's a lovely, lovely verse. And it says, as a father pitieth his children, so doth the Lord pity them that fear him. And there again you have that reference of God seeing us as his children and we approach him as our father. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? Pray in this wise, our Father. And so when you pray, you ought to be like Axa here. You're going to your Father and therefore have confidence. Have confidence. This is the source of your blessing. The source of the blessing was her father. But can I say furthermore, the source of the blessing was vast. Because when Axa came to her father, Caleb by this stage was an aged man. He was a man who was well respected right throughout the tribe of Israel because of his faithfulness. He was a man who had great possessions and a man of great wealth. And so genuinely, the vastness of the one she comes to is remarkable. But again, you and I, when we go to our Heavenly Father, the vastness of God's ability to give absolutely dwarfs Caleb's vastness. Caleb was nothing compared to God. Listen, the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I like to describe God's ability to give like this. It's like a reservoir. And a reservoir is massive. You could not, in your lifetime, you could not go to a reservoir and drink it dry. But if you go to God, it's like a reservoir without a bottom. And the whole of the human race can go and draw from God and draw and draw. And still, we will never get to the bottom of God's ability to meet our need and to give us what we pray for. This is just the reality. God's vastness. The problem genuinely is, men and women, we come with small buckets. That's the problem. When we come to God in prayer, do we even have a bucket? Perhaps we're just going with a spoon and we're spooning out just a little of the vast supply that God has for us. Do you lack faith today? Pray, oh God, increase my faith. Do you lack love? Are you cold? Oh God, give me a hunger. Give me a desire and a passion for the things of God. Do you need revival? God revives. We have a Lord. We have a Master who indeed can abundantly bless those who approach him. So we have thought about the source of the blessing. Let's move on as we think about obtaining prayer, obtaining blessings through prayer. The source of Axa's blessing was her father. But I want you to see now how she approached for this blessing, the approach for the blessing. Look at verse 18 again with me. It says in verse 18, and it came to pass as she came on to Othniel, that she moved Othniel to ask of her father Caleb a field. I'm putting the names in there just to help you, okay? And then it says, she laid off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldst thou? Now, what I want you to see is this. Here's Axa. Like I said, she's leaving now her father's house, and she's going to her husband. But as she did so, she was considering what she needs. That's the idea of verse 18. And it came to pass as she was coming to her husband, as she was going to him, she's mulling over in her mind, right? I'm leaving my father now. I'm leaving his house and his care. I have a lot of things to sort out here. And as she goes into this new sphere in her life, essentially, she's thinking about everything required. She's considering her future. That's very important. As she came, it's good to consider what we need. That might sound quite obvious, but maybe something we often miss. Perhaps when we go to prayer, we just kind of pray generally. Or we kind of pray whatever just comes to our mind when we're praying. But here you have a woman who's preparing. What do I need? What should I ask for when I approach my Father? I remember in the book of Job, there's a verse just in the book of Job there where Job says, "Oh, I would order my cause before him." And what Job is saying there is, if he could get an audience with God, and of course he did, but you know Job's trials and troubles at that time, he felt that God was far away. And he says in his book there, "Oh, that I could order my cause before him." That word order means to make a list. That's the idea. To sit down and prepare your arguments and your thoughts. It's almost a court scene case where you go to defend yourself in court and you get all your paperwork together and all your history and all your reasoning and all your points and you put it all together and then you can come and you can order it, you can present it to defend yourself. That's what Job says there. I want to prepare myself before I come to prayer. That's the idea. Get ready. And so I can give to God a thoughtful outworking of what I need in prayer. So, it says here that she came as she was coming on to her husband. That's her consideration. But I want you also to see her consciousness. Her consciousness of willingness. Of her father's willingness. She gets off her ass, it says. She gets off her donkey. She's traveling towards this new life. And she jumps off. Because she's confident. She's conscious of her father's ability to meet her need. She's not willing just to keep on going on. She's not willing just to proceed now without going to the source of blessing. All right? She's going to see her father. That's her consideration. She's also conscious of his willingness. And I can't. I want to try and rush through this to get finished in time, but I can't miss this bit. You see, she was conscious of her father's willingness. And if you look at the end of verse 18, I have to say, throughout my walk with God in recent years anyway, this is probably one of the most encouraging passages in God's Word regarding prayer for me. That's the end of verse 18. Okay, she's in this, going into this new stage of life. She's conscious of her father's willingness, and she was not disappointed because look at the end of verse 18. She lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, as soon as she gets off her transport and she's making her way over to her father says, "Get out of my hair. You're married now. Go and ask your husband. I have looked after you all these years. Give me headpiece." That's not what he says at all. I love just how Caleb, it's almost like he swings open the doors. And he simply says to his daughter, "What wouldst thou?" You don't get a more open-ended question than that. What is it you want, dear? Perfectly willing to hear his daughter's request and to give her according as he was able to do so. What wouldst thou? And you remember that when you pray. Sometimes, and you will know what it's like, you get up maybe in the morning or in the evening or through the day or whenever, and you go to pray and it feels like you're just not getting through. As if you don't have the ear of God and the devil's there taunting you and the flesh is burdening you and circumstances are distracting you. When you go to prayer, think on these words. You are going to the greater than Caleb, your heavenly father, and the word of God over and over and over again, it says, "What wouldst thou, my child?" Have you ever noticed how often God encourages us to come to prayer? Isn't that a strange thing? That we are the ones that God not only encourages, but he exhorts us and commands us, pray, pray, pray. It should be second nature to us. We have this open door. And so you remember that when you pray, the door's wide open. Child of God, those of you who fear the Lord, what wouldst thou? The Lord is there ready to answer. He knows what is good for us. He knows what we need. He knows, because sometimes I'm thankful, sometimes we go to prayer and we ask God for things, and it's not until maybe 5, 10 years later we think, boy, I'm glad the Lord didn't answer that prayer exactly, but rather he gave me something far better. I would be of the opinion that God doesn't say no to us in prayer. Very often he says, I have something better. And that's true. I can look over my own life. Many prayers I've asked, things I've wrestled with, things I've wrestled over with God, and the Lord didn't give me that particular thing, but something far better. This is the great God we have. And we see that in this text. So, yeah, her approach to her father here. So that was her consideration. She's considering what to ask. She's conscious of her father's willingness. But I want you also to see her clarity. When she approaches her father, she's got perfect clarity as to what she wants. All right? You see it here in verse 19. And you know, her father has just said, what wouldst thou? Verse 19, who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And you know, let me pause here for a moment. What if, you know, what if you were conscious, you're bowing in prayer, and all of a sudden you're just overwhelmed with the consciousness that God is there, he has opened the doors, and he says, what is it you want? If that was your experience, and it was like never before, what would you ask for? You might be bewildered. You might wonder, what am I going to ask for here? Here was Aksa, and her father opened the door wide, and she straight away knew what to ask for. We read a moment ago there in Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, there's several references there to prayer. And one of those references says, ask, and it shall be given you. When we pray, we ought to know exactly what we're asking for, what we need. And so that we have actually something to pray, not just reciting something we've been doing for years, but knowing and asking directly for what we need. Now, Aksa was very clear. She had clarity on what she was going to pray over. Very quickly, just to bring this to a conclusion, I want you now to see the abundance of blessing. We thought about the source of blessing. We thought about her approach for the blessing. Now look at the abundance of the blessing. Verse 19. Who answered? This is Aksa. She's answering her father's request. What wouldst thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. You see, her father had already given her a gift, and it was a land. She had ground. That was a blessing. But what good is ground if it's going to be barren and dry? And she knows that. So my father has given me something. He has given me a blessing. But this ground, if it's going to be fruitful, if it's going to produce anything, it needs the springs of water. And so I want to apply that to you today. Maybe the Lord has saved you, and he's given you a blessing. It's salvation. But if you're going to be fruitful, you need the Lord to pour in the rain, to pour in the refreshing tide, to do something with you, to refresh you, to do you good, that you might produce fruit. That's it on a personal level. But let's think of it on an ecclesiastical level, on a church level. The Lord has given you here. He's given you as a place where you can witness for God. Somewhere where you can be fed and somewhere you can worship. And so the Lord has given you a plot of land, ground, to worship God and serve him. What you need now is the Lord to send the rains from above, to send the refreshing tide and bless the blessing he has given to you. And here you see the abundance of it. Verse 19, it says that Caleb, Aksa's father, gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Practically, from the north to the south, the idea is here, from both sides, the water is going to flood in. I tell you, Aksa's fields would never be without water, for there was going to be an abundance. Remember that text in Ephesians 3? It says there, the Lord doeth exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask or even think. That's her experience. The Lord has flooded her blessing. Like I said at the beginning, Caleb would have wonderful stories for his grandchildren. Othniel and Aksah would have lovely stories for their children. And those children could go to their friends and they could speak about their grandfather, a man who was faithful to God and blessed. They could speak of their father who fought the Lord's battle, and they could speak of their mother who loved her children if she had any. And they could say, indeed, my mother was a woman of prayer, of asking. And I wonder, could the generations that follow you say that? That you're a woman or a man of prayer, you're fighting God's battles, you're faithful to the Lord. I trust that the Lord would make us, God's people, men and women who are exemplary in our faith and who plough fresh ground for God.